Hi guys, thanks for joining us for episode 85 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is April 29th, and I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and Instagram and all the places mostly as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. And
I'm Katie. You can find me on Ravelry as Katie B, KayteeBee. On Instagram is KDB with a KT at the end. If you go to Ravelry, you can find my buttons there for Goodreads and Twitter and stuff like that.
And you can also find all of that information on the blog, which is kitchenstitches.com, over on the right-hand side on a desktop version. You can find our social media links. The only thing that goes on there is the recording and sometimes show notes. I've been better about doing show notes lately. But, yeah, it has been an absolutely crazy April. I was gone about a third of the month. I went to Salt Lake City, and then I went to San Antonio for two different library conferences, and had a cold again, and my husband's been busy. It's just been an insane month, and I'm very, very eager for things to kind of calm down. We still have to get through the end of the school year and graduation, but basically, we're at the point now. IB testing and AP testing has started at my husband's school, which means he's pretty much done with all his prep and everything for the year, so it's kind of, we had a big dinner last night. We cooked steaks and stuff. It was kind of like a celebratory, now here's the end thing. Let's just cross our fingers and get through graduation. But what about you? Has it for everybody been as crazy or
no? Just normal.
Yeah.
I mean, work's changes at work, but other than that.
Yeah. Excuse me. Like I said, I've had a cold. I'm kind of getting over it. I'm a little sniffly and got a little bit of a cough still, so I'll try to direct it away from the microphone. We've got a lot to talk about today, it looks like, looking at our show notes. So we'll talk about, well, pretty much all of the regular categories. So do you want me to start or do you want to start?
I don't care.
I'll start because I'm first on the list.
Okay.
Okay, so finished objects. I did bring those with me. I finished a pair of socks using Rock and String Creations in the Mountain Twilight colorway. I don't remember the base. I don't remember what she calls her normal
base.
I think it's Super Sock or Strong Sock. Mm. This was the colorway, retreat colorway for Into the Wool this past year. And this was also my skein for the Just One More Row single skein 12 and 17 project. I had to make it longer than I normally do. Otherwise, I couldn't get to the 50% mark for my ball of yarn. I was going to give up because I was going to make them shorty socks. And then it occurred to me that there was no way that would be 50% in this. So I started weighing them, and I didn't think I would ever get to the 25% mark on one sock. And finally did. These socks were perfect for conference knitting. I got probably two-thirds of the sock done, or both, between the pair, two-thirds of the pair done at conferences. The colorway on this, it's a five-striper with a really kind of a berry purple, a blue, two teals, like a teal blue, and then a gray, and then a teal green, and then kind of a, what's the word? The green, I'm looking for.
Green?
What? It's, not cerulean, what's the word I'm looking for? The kind of a limey green. There's a word.
I can't think of the word.
And I can't.
Chartreuse?
Yes, chartreuse. So that's repeated. I kind of cobbled these together. I started following a pattern. It's my Knitted Heart vanilla socks, and that was my go-to pattern when I first started knitting socks. And it basically is a free pattern. It's just vanilla socks, but it has a little bit of ribbing on either side to give it a little bit of stretch. And I decided, instead of just doing normal ribbing, I did a broken rib on that. Then I did an OMG heel, and then just normal 2x2 rib for most of the cuff when I realized that I needed to make it longer. I did 56 stitches, and then once I got a couple of stripes into the cuff, I increased twice to take it up to 64 stitches, so it fits my calf really well. That's the first time I've ever modified like that, and it worked pretty well. I did put the increases in different places because I missed it the second sock, but very happy with those. They are not complete. I mean, they're finished, but I just finished them yesterday, so ends aren't woven in yet.
I have to. This is a toe-up pattern, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to look at that.
Yeah, look at the My Knitted Heart vanilla socks. It, the pattern itself has a heel flap, but you could do whatever you want.
Because I like that. I mean, I like the 3x1, but this would be something just a little bit different, but it would give me a little stretch.
It gives a little bit of interest to
My Knitted Heart.
Yeah, and it's super quick because you don't have to think about it. And then I finished the Cat's Paw Cowl by Emma Galati. I used Ancient Arts Fiber Crafts Fingerings Sock Yarn in Tuxedo Cat, which is a black and white. I think I mentioned last time I wasn't sure if it had silk content. I was able to track. I couldn't ever find the band, but I was able to find what they sell at Hill Country Weavers and tell them that there is some silk content. It's very small. I think probably like 10% or something. It's not a lot. But this is it has not been blocked. It will stretch out long enough that I could double it if I want to in the winter or just wear it single, like when a single wrap. It's very busy for the pattern. The pattern has this interesting mesh section in the middle, and it doesn't show very well, but I don't really care. It still looks cool. And let's see. I did not bring them because I've worn them and haven't washed them yet, but I finished the vanilla socks I was working on using Mustache Yarn and Sorting Hat, and I started these back right before the end of the wool retreat and finally finished them. I don't know why it took so long to finish those socks. Unfortunately, they are a little big. I had an issue with 56 stitches weren't fitting very well, so I think I went up to 64, and those were too big, but they're wearable. And then I finished what I was working on while we were podcasting last time. It was a simple WPI toque, which I think I called a WIP toque, and then realized that it's wraps per inch, not work in progress. This was using 300 Three Waters Farm 100% Falkland in the Maple Leaf Rag colorway, so it's very autumn-y. I must have been almost done with this when my podcast last time, because it seems like forever since I was working on this. Haven't worn it yet, haven't needed to wear it, can't imagine needing to wear it for many, many months. But it's super soft and squishy. And then the final thing, my piece de resistance for my non-French speaking self, is my Harvest by Tin Can Nets. I've managed to get this done before my conference because it wasn't, like I mentioned, it was in Salt Lake City, and it was actually cool enough to wear it a couple of times. Ironically, it got up to almost 80, around 80 the last full day I was there. We went to dinner, and while we were at dinner, a cool front blew through, and it was cold enough to need a sweater, but I didn't have it with me because it had been in the 70s. So I ended up buying a non-sale jacket at Macy's. But it is actually a little bit too big. I've lost about almost 20 pounds since I recorded. I mean, now that would be some weight loss. 20 pounds since I started it about a year ago. So it's maybe a little big on the shoulders. I had problems with it sliding off my shoulders, and the sleeves are ridiculously too long. I've got them rolled up three times. I actually didn't weave the ends in because I knew that I was probably going to rip them back. I'm going to, I probably won't do any more decreases. I should have done more decreases on the arms, but on the sleeves, but I didn't. And I think if I just rip back to where I've been rolling them to, it may be one less, because I have found myself unrolling them one time so I could kind of grab the ends. That'll be fine. And it occurred to me as I was packing this up that if I rip them out and do them during Stash Dash, I can count the entire project unless the rules change this year. So that'll be a nice...
That's been a long-standing rule.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it would change.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I know a lot of people have done that before, yeah. You know, made modifications that they need to so they can get the full yardage. But I love the way it feels. It is super warm, and love, love, love the color. It's a great pattern. Lots of stockinette, though, so... It was boring, and it took me almost a year, but I love the finished product. I do believe that's all of my finished objects.
Okay.
I apologize. I realize I was turned away for a lot of that, so I hope y'all could hear me.
Ah. 10-year-old iPad's being moody.
Sorry. Line up if you want to look at the
stuck on Facebook. So what we're doing, whips?
Yeah. No. Finished objects. If you want.
Okay, wait. Here. Hold on.
Technical difficulties.
It's time for a new iPad. Okay. Okay. So. Okay, so FOs. It's in the other room, and I don't know if you want to watch me cut it or not.
Oh, I do, actually.
So you can record me. I finished my Hidden Falls wrap by Plucky Knitter. You knit it in the round, and then you have a section of stitches that you, at the very end, drop. And so that you then go and cut those and tie them off to make fringe. And so it's faster to knit it in the round. And so I have that pinned out a little bit so I could get the drop stitches unkinked. Actually, they weren't too kinky. So I used Plucky Knitter Primo Aran. So that sucker is heavy. It's probably like 4 skeins worth of yarn.
Wow.
So it's, I mean, that's what, a pound? Right. But still, yeah. It's heavy. The main color was Lonesome Highway, which is a dark charcoal gray, and then I used stripes of red, which is Athos, kind of a limey green, which was Green Goddess, a really pretty blue gray, which is Skies of November, and then a lighter gray on the rocks. And so it's alternating sections of stockinette, and then like a mesh, you know, knit to yarn over sections. So I will post finished pictures of that, in my projects in the next couple of days, but we're gonna have it pinned out now so that I can, have somebody supervise when I cut. Well, I have it, on a drying rack, and I have, blocking mats underneath it, and I have it pinned down.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to cut it without either someone helping you or having it pinned, because it's really heavy and it'll slide all over the place.
Yeah.
So, that's that. That's all the FOs I have.
You want to keep going and talk about your whips?
At work, I took my fair shawl to work. That's by Shannon Cook. It's a long, skinny crescent shawl, so it's kind of like a scarf, not a very deep shawl. It's using just different textures, you know, stockinette, garter. I can't remember if there were slip stitches in there or not. I'm using Plucky Knitter Scholar 2.0 in Wanderlust, which is really dark, pretty gray, and then a small batch, which is some of her speckled yarn, in Small Batch 21, which is kind of a cream base with black and gray speckles. So I'm on the knitted border. You knit the border on after you do the whole crescent. It's only 15 stitches, so it actually seems to go pretty fast. So I have took that to work, so that's something I can easily pick up and put down, and I'm working on that. And then I yarn math got me. Okay. So in knitting, the logic is that, you know, if you have 100 yards, 100 grams, you knit to 50, and then you start decreasing, right. You in theory would have enough yarn to finish your project. Mm-hmm. Unless your gauge gets really crazy, or you change needles, right. Or patterns or something.
Or you're using hand spun. That
right. So I thought that logic also applied to crochet.
I would think so.
It must not, or I can't weigh my yarn correctly. So I had a whole bunch of partial skeins of three Irish girls from back in the day. She's do the original dyer, Sharon, did something called Carpe Yarnum. And so these were like test skeins because they're very similar to some other things I had bought or seen. And so I had pulled out 8 of them, and they kind of made a gradient the way I laid them out. I'm like, oh, that'll make a nice little baby blanket, mm-hmm. You know, or lap, whatever. I was basically going to knit to crochet to the middle and then start decreasing. And this is, I've been wanting to try the corner to corner blanket, and I'm using the pattern by Katherine J. Watson on Ravelry, which I think is a red heart pattern. I love double crochet, and I can do double crochet mm-hmm. all day long. And so it's just something different from doing granny squares. So, yeah, I ran out of yarn about 15.
Oh, wow. So you have a house. It kind of looks like a, if you turn it sideways, it looks like a.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened. Someone needs to explain the math to me. I don't know if maybe it's because I had more wider stripes or when I don't know. Oh. So I'm really sad. So I don't know what to do. I don't, cause it, as I had it, it was a gradient.
And right. It,
and even though I left long tails, that's not 15.
No.
Not 15 no. rows worth of tails.
No, so especially just, 15 rows worth of crochet.
Yeah. Double crochet on that. So Dave's like, well, that's, you could use that as a swaddling blanket. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still usable.
Yeah. But you will always look at it and be like,
So, and I don't know that I have anything this color in my stash. So I'm a little heartbroken. I don't know. I have more yarn wound up. There are pounds of mini skeins or whatever, mm-hmm. and so I wound up the other set, but none of them would go. There's a dark brown, but I don't think that would get me 15 rows. So what my theory was is I weighed all the skeins, mm-hmm. and I put them in order, so 1 through 8. So 1 through 4 actually weighed less than 5 through 8.
So you would think that you would have way more than enough.
Right. And I'm decreasing, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So I gotta decide what to do. Either just pick something and finish off the corner, or I don't really want to rip it.
Have like a natural something, maybe.
Well, I can show you the other stuff I have wound up. That was kind of, but I bought 2 sets of these partial skeins. There's another pink, but it's a really bright pink. Mm-hmm. And then there was a brown. There was some gray brown that maybe that would work with this. It just throws the symmetry off.
Yeah. That's frustrating.
But I've enjoyed the pattern, and I would definitely do this again. It makes me kind of want to just pull all the acrylic out of the closet upstairs.
And just go to town.
Yeah. Well, because my hands will bother me, and so I was finding that just working on this was soothing the need to do something.
Right.
And still using yarn and not jacking up my hands. Mm-hmm. Plus it was easy to pick up and put down. So after, I had a really hard time getting past the first 4 rows, but after I figured out the pattern, I kept forgetting there was a chain three after you slip stitched. Mm-hmm. But it only took me a couple rows and I got that figured out. So that's, I gotta figure out what to do with that. And then there's a pattern called Hemrick by Lindy Christina. It's a triangle shawl or asymmetric shawl. That's alternating sections of garter stitch and drop stitches. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on that. I'm having mixed feelings about this too. I'm using Mad Tosh DK Twist in Cosmic Silver, which is very light silvery gray with speckles of teal and yellow and pink and purple and blue. But I don't know that they pop enough. If you look at the pattern page, she uses some stuff that's a little more vibrant or solid.
I like it. They pop to me. But I mean, I haven't seen the original pattern page.
Do I have... That's that. That's spun right round. Mm-hmm. So
it looks similar to me. Yeah. I think it's close enough. So, but then again, you know, if it's not what you want...
Well, part of it's just the double yarn over is kind of a pain to deal with too. So I'm working on that, and that's easy enough to pick up and put down. And I picked this back up last night. It's not in the show notes. My OMG heel sock by Megan Williams. Toe up using a sock blank from Unwind Yarn Company. It's in blues. Now that I'm, it's more blue with splotches of purple and green and dark blue. And then I use a little bit of plucky knitter for the feet. And I'll do, I'm going to make these shorty socks. I'm having issues. Part of it's the needles. I'm using the new Signatures 2.25, mm-hmm. which are really, they're really pointy. And then I decided to do a 3x1 rib. And so with it being a sock blank, the yarn's kinky. And I just have a hard time seeing
the pearls.
The pearls. Yeah. So I'm continually having 1, 2, 3, 4. One, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think I could suffer through another shorty sock. Plus, I've never made shorty socks other than my Rose City Rollers.
They look really cool. So I like the way that sock blank is knitting up.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it really does. I mean, Dana's yarn has kind of a signature look about it. And even the sock blank, it looks like Unwind yarn to me. Yeah. It reminds me a bit of, I did the first pair of socks I made using hers was the Aurora Borealis, and it actually reminds me a bit of, that's a little more purple or a little more something.
Yeah.
But the colors are similar.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't mind knitting with the kinky yarn. I think it would be better if I was just knitting straight and mm-hmm. maybe on a slightly bigger needle or a needle that wasn't as pointy. Mm-hmm. so that's, I could probably do another small sock, and then if I knit any more off of it, I would use a bigger needle or something. That's all the whips I have.
I have got a massive list of whips. I went on a sock cast on party last week. I had ordered 3 new double zeros before I went on my conference. I don't remember if it was before my first one or before my second one, sometime earlier this month. But I hadn't cast on, and I decided that there needed to be socks on all of those.
Well, you hadn't really done, well...
I hadn't been doing socks.
You kind of, I mean, you had some you were working on, but you weren't obsessed with socks like you had been in the past.
Right, and I think what it really was, it's not so much that I wanted to be knitting socks. I wanted to be knitting with the yarn. The yarn that I'm using, I specifically wanted to be socks. So that's where that came from. And it's been a lot of fun. The first one, I did not bring most of my whips, but I did bring the first one. So I am doing my first pair of Colorwork socks. I'm doing Peep Show by Laura Smoot, and I'm using Undead Yarn. This was a kit they put together. Well, it wasn't exactly a kit. Laura had the yarn, Laura had the pattern, and Heidi dyed yarn for the pattern, but they weren't sold together. So I bought the pattern, I bought the yarn from Heidi, and I am on my fourth attempt, I think. This is the first stranded color work I've ever done, so I'm still learning how to get the floats to not be too tight, and I'm trying to not let it frustrate me too much. Like, I was really frustrated after the last attempt and was thinking about just giving up. And then I posted on Instagram, and Laura Smoot actually commented and was giving me some tips, and some other people did, and I had looked up some stuff. And the biggest tip that I got was to try them on DPNs. So I ordered some carbons. Actually ended up, without paying attention, I ordered long carbons, which is kind of annoying because they won't fit either in my drawers that I use for holding my needles or in the little needle minder that I have, but that's okay.
I didn't know what are those, 8?
These are 8-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started to make sure I noticed, pay attention to 8s or 9 are nice, like if you're making a hat or something. Mm-hmm. Dave loves double points. He would live off of double points.
I don't really use them very often unless I'm finishing a hat.
Yeah.
I think I've done mitts on them. But
what size are those?
These are 1s.
I may have a pair of something shorter. Yeah.
I think they're okay. But I typically do socks on 00s, and I knew to go up a size for the color work portion. But I was using Magic Loop. And my cuff is fine. I mean, I can look at the cuff and that needle size was fine. But every time I would do it and it would be too tight. So I think I started with 00s and then just went up a size to 0. And that was too small. So I went up to a 1. And then I must have restarted again trying to do with a different technique. I'm not quite sure. And then, so now I've done it. I've started on DPNs, and because they're on DPNs, I can't try them on. They feel like they could possibly be a little too tight up at the top, but if I look at these, they don't look too tight. They look like they should stretch. They're looking pretty good, and I did the whole chick section. So these have a blue background with yellow chicks and pink rabbits, like the marshmallow peeps. I finished the entire chick section yesterday and moved on to the peeps. So this was moved on to the rabbits this morning. And this was, just watching a movie I had done a little bit in the afternoon. So it's actually going really quick. I think it's that potato chip knitting. So it's fun to see the pattern appear. But I'm a little worried they're not going to fit. But I don't care enough to start them over. If they don't fit, they will be a showpiece. that sounds like I'm showing, but they will. I will put them on display and say, "Look, I did fingerwork socks," and we'll probably do one. If it doesn't fit, I will give up. But I'm actually fairly optimistic, and I'm really enjoying it. And I think I finally have a technique down that seems to be working. I think that's part of it. I think I didn't really have my rhythm until about halfway through the chick, and it seems like the bottom part of it is a little looser, so the top part may be too tight, but I'm not ripping them out. Excuse me. So, on to the other socks. I started a pair of Whiz Bang socks by Sarah Hsu. I think the pattern may be, I don't know if it's published under her name or under Cultivate and Create, but this is a slip stitch pattern. I'm using Key Marie yarn in the Blue Bonnet colorway, which is blue and white. I'm not sure that this is the best pattern for it.
Because it's variegated, not striped.
Well, the Whizbang was made for variegated. Oh, okay. But I think it would work better with a multicolored. This is with the blue and white. It's not great, but it's an interesting stitch pattern. So it'll be okay. It just may not. I'll probably end up doing it again in different yarn. But I'm just barely past the toe on that one. I cast that one on while I was at my conference just to have something different to work on in the hotel room than I was working on at the conference. And then I started Mince Pie Mayhem by Alice Yu. It's from the Socktopus book. And I'm using a riot of color. And it's her tweed fingering base, and I can't remember what it is called. I meant to look that up and write it down. I'll write it down before I publish show notes. And it's in the, I think it's called the Spring Meadow colorway. It's just a kind of, it's a really nice green, a little bit tonal with these, you know, with the tweed bits in it. And this pattern, I am pretty sure I'm still on the cuff on those. So I'm not sure how the pattern will work. But when I was looking for a pattern to do with this yarn, I was looking on Ravelry and trying to find ones that people had used. I was doing a keyword search for tweed in projects for different patterns to see how it would look. And this one looked pretty cool in a tweed. Then I also cast on the Bob and Weave Socks by Susie White. And I'm using Unwind Yarn Company in the Lake Frances Sunrise colorway, which was the retreat colorway from last year's Into the Wool. And then I think I'm still on the cuff on those. I'm getting really close if I'm not past the cuff yet. And then I am also cast on Catching Fish by Penny Schumers using Loghouse Cabin. And this didn't have a colorway, but it's a orange and turquoise. And it reminded me of goldfish, like a koi pond. So I picked that pattern specifically for the name. I had it in my queue, so that wasn't too much of a stretch. The funny thing about those, the last three, the Mince Pie, Mayhem, Bob and Weave, and Catching Fish, all three of those yarns, I just used a randomizer to pick the yarn out of, you know, the yarn that I wanted to knit with. And all three of those have an Into the Wool connection. Wow. Because I got the Riot of Color, I used a coupon code from the first year I went to get, and then obviously the Unwind Yarn Company was the retreat colorway. And then I traded with Heidi for the Loghouse Cabin after the, I guess it was from the opening when we all got, you know, we won door prizes, and my color was more her color, and this one was something that I was interested in. So it's not a self-striping. The Loghouse Cabin is variegated, and the colors are playing really nicely together. And then only a couple more things that I've been working on because, like I said, I was gone. Most of it has been the sock knitting. I continued to work on the virus shawl, which I was the crocheted pattern that I was working on in the last episode. I didn't finish it, but I also decided after talking about it last time that I'm going to keep going on it and make it as big as I can. So it's in whip purgatory for right now.
Might as well use up the yarn, right? Or most of it. Yeah. I mean, it's such a big skein of yarn.
Right. So. I think I was just getting bored with it, but now having put it aside for a little while, I don't have a problem picking it back up and you know, amongst all of the other whips.
Well, and it's crochet, so you can stop in the middle of a row.
Right. Because they are very long at this point.
Yeah.
And then I just did a little bit on it, but I'm still working on the Paralucia shawl by Very Busy Monkey. I'm using Plymouth Yarn, Dye For Me, Happy Feet, and a color that I dyed myself using a spruce color from Jacquard Dyes. It's a really nice kind of teal, dark teal green. And then I am also working on a giant granny square blanket. I think I've mentioned it the past couple of episodes. I'm using Madeline Tosh, the Yarnathon colorways for this year. I am currently on the third section. I missed 1 month in there of the colorways, but this one I'm on. It's Mike TV, and it's white with blue and red speckles. But I've got that out to work on because it's double crochet and it's easy. And then the only other work in progress is spinning, and I am still working on the Rock and String Creations BFL silk that I was working on last time. It's in the caramel apple cider. I was kind of ho-hum about the colorway last time. It's kind of grown on me. I am still not done actually spinning because even when I was home between conferences, I just didn't have much of spinning mojo. But I am probably more than halfway through with the second bobbin, and then I will ply it. I would be really surprised if my stripes stay together, but hopefully there will still be a significant stripey effect to it. So that is it. I'm going to let you talk because I need to drink some more.
Okay. So, coming soon. So now that I'm in the home stretch and have at least one big project off the needles, the Hidden Falls, and the fair is at work, so I don't have to worry about that. I've got some other things lined up. So still planning on doing a Find Your Fade. That's, you know, the really popular shawl right now by Andrea Mowry. I switched out one of my colors because I had it progressing from kind of a green-blue to blue with speckles in between. And the third color was this gold color called Ogre. And I like Ogre, but when you look at the pictures, everyone that has blocked their shawl, that's a big swath of yarn that kind of hits. If it was at the very end, I would keep it. But I just didn't like the thought of that big swath of yellow there
being
very visible. Yeah. And it really bothered me, And so I had bought a mystery kit from Plucky, a seven skein mystery kit, which included, basically she kind of made your own Find Your Fade for you, or coordinating colors. And so I got a skein of corduroy in that, which is a corduroy green, like corduroy pants. And so I kind of liked that. Did I keep the ogre? I don't know. I may have kept the ogre and got rid of the old copper, which was the green blue at the end. But so I switched out my color order. I kept the ogre. So the ogre is going to be at the very end, and I switched out and moved the copper in, or corduroy in. So still planning on that. Part of that's just brain space. I just kind of want stuff I can pick up and put down, and I'm kind of hesitant to start something that I might have to actually keep count. And then for some reason, a whole bunch of people were making a Vorfreud by Moni Ebner. It's a weird, kind of weird shaped. It's like an asymmetric scarf shawl. It's not really deep, super deep to be a shawl, but it's really long. It's four colors, so it kind of looks plaid a little bit.
Yeah, I see.
So a whole bunch of people were making that on Plucky, so I bought yarn for that. I don't knit with a lot of sport weight. I have a lot of sport weight, but I don't knit with a lot of it. So I'm going to use Good Jeans, which is like the navy blue, like a brand new nice dark pair of blue jeans. Avocado Toast, which is like an dark avocado green. Red Haven, which is an orangey red. And Early Light, which is a blue. And the red and the blue, or the light blue, are just pinstripes. And the other two are the more prominent colors. So I wound all... I was really afraid of all that bleeding, if I should ever soak it. Just say that blue is very intense. The blue actually didn't bleed at all when I soaked it. Her greens bleed a lot. So I soaked the green, the red bled. I didn't soak the light blue. So I have all those wound. I need to weigh them. so I will probably start that. That's going to be one of those that has a lot of ends to weave in.
Yeah.
I don't mind ends. I really don't.
I don't mind them. I just tend to leave them and then they get annoying. But I'll make myself sit, I'll set a timer for 15, 20 minutes. Or say, you know, I'm going to watch this episode and while I do this, I'm going to leave them in. And it's not so bad.
I tend to do them in batches. I'll do a handful at a time. Part of it is they annoy me. Like, in my fair shawl, she says not to weave them in until you're done. Uh-huh. And it's driving me crazy. Uh-huh. I had to tie them together because they were driving me crazy. When I left them really long, too. I tend to leave my tails longer. That really drove me nuts was, remember when we did that traveling scarf?
Yes.
For Yarn People? And I helped because there were two or three people who didn't do theirs or whatever. And so I did some... Nobody left tails. I'm serious. There was, like, less than an... I'm like, are you serious? I have nothing to work with here to join the yarn. So I always leave tails. And I'm probably going to start another crochet corner-to-corner blanket. I need to ask about the math on this next one. I have plenty more yarn than I do for that one because I know they were all bigger skeins, but definitely want to make another one of those. I enjoyed that. I think that's it.
Okay. I've got so much on the needles right now that I really don't have many plans, but May 1st is Monday, so I will be starting another project for the 12 and 17 for just one more row. The skein that I'll be using is Lorna's Laces Shepherd Socks in Brick, which is it's a brick red, and it's pretty solid. I assume it's a little bit tonal, but it's a pretty solid yarn. So I'm not 100% sure what pattern I'll use for that. It won't be vanilla socks because that would be incredibly boring. But something with probably quite a bit of texture. And I actually saw, when I was looking through my patterns, trying to pick things for all of the ones I cast on, there were several that I saw that had some nice cable work. That would be fun. And actually using cables would use up a little bit extra yarn. Mm-hmm. So it would probably be easier to get to the 50% point on the skein. So there's that. And then I've been strongly considering joining in on Hohe Locatelli's Mystery Wrap Knit Along.
I got to see it first. I got burned on the one sheet, like one of her first ones, which was, I didn't enjoy it. It was just stripes.
Oh. I suspect this will be something more along the lines of like the three-color cashmere cowl. She's done several of those that have the textures. This has, I think, 5 color blocks. And I think I could probably make it work. I probably have something for all of them. But the first color is supposed to be a pale and like a semi-solid or tonal. And I don't have anything like that I can think of. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll attempt it or not. I may be able to do it if I go with maybe just not quite as light as she was suggesting. I've seen several kits on Instagram that people are putting together, and it's not always like a super, super light, but we'll see what I have. I might, Monday, I will be stalking Eat Sleep Knit to buy the next colorway for the,
I was just looking to see if they, I got in the email. And
not yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I might pick up a skein of Madeline Tosh and any one of her light, like Antler or something like that. That's really light, but we'll see. I think I need to go through and pick the other colors first and then see if I can find...
Sock or TML?
I was thinking sock because most of what I have is twist.
I don't think I have any light. Yeah. I don't have any light colored sock.
I don't buy that unless I'm going to buy it for a specific project. I thought I might have had
I think this is the last Mad Tosh I bought, and that was at Stitches.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Stitches? Yeah, it was Stitches.
So those are the only two things on my radar at the moment. I'm going to let you talk about acquisitions because I have a bit because I went to a fiber festival.
Well, I have actually more than I put on the list.
Okay, either way.
Because I was pushing stuff around this morning. Okay. So, I got some more mustache. I actually need to nip this.
I really wanted to look at that update, and it was during TLA.
Oh, and if you had told me.
I actually meant to text you, and it's,
and I could have, because I had ninja skills, and I got 2 out of the 3 I tried for.
I was actually, I was going to look, didn't she have, she had a lookbook up, I think, she had a list.
She had a list in an email, so I wrote down, and then I went to the lookbook and looked, I think part of it is when the page loaded, it was multiple pages, so it wasn't all on one page.
Right.
So you had to go, and they were at least they were in alphabetical order. So anyway, I got, this is Mustache. She is semi-local to us. She's over in San Antonio. Polka Dot Afro Circus.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pink with sections of speckles and black stripes. And then I got a skein of The Wall, which is mostly cream colored, and then it has thin stripes.
Like a prism.
Yeah, prism, like The Wall from Pink Floyd. So I got those. She had an update after DFW, so I managed to get those. I didn't order the Beauty and the Beast colorway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, eh. I haven't knit with any of the stuff I have. So I am jumping on the hippo for whatever holiday bandwagon, right. Unless I really don't like the color.
I was hoping that, Yarn Hoarder mentioned Lolo did it, was going to do, like, a special colorway near me. I'm like, oh. Yeah, I'll let you talk.
So this is Hippo for Cinco. I kind of just click until I can get a base and just buy whatever base I can get. So this is Plush Sock, which is 75% superwash, 15 nylon, 10% tencel, 430 yards. So it's like a light silvery gray base with splashes of olive green, yellow, like a rusty dark red, a pink. Yeah. Doesn't really, to me, that doesn't say Cinco
de Mayo. Yeah. The pink, maybe. I would expect more of a limey green. I mean, there is a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's kind of an avocado.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I would expect someone from Texas to do it better. I have no idea where she is.
She's in Nevada. But, I kind of expected maybe, like, you know, when you go to a Mexican restaurant, you see the
little flags. Right. We're inundated with the colors, so I think that...
Or at the... Yeah. On the Riverwalk, that restaurant that has all the umbrellas and stuff.
Casabio.
So, that's Hippo for Cinco. And then I had also gotten... Sorry about the crinkling. Tin Roof Rusted, ooh, which is like a gray and a white variegated with some of that chartreusey green gold again, splashes of like barn red. And then Pretty Little Zombies, so that's kind of a more of a white base with splashes of that greeny gold, yellow, a little bit of black and pink and smudge of blue. So I don't know what I'm going to do with all these. There's some wrap scarf that uses a whole bunch of speckled yarn with sections of solid. So I don't know if I want to do something like that. Or maybe crochet or knit some sort of a la Find Your Fade wrap type thing. I don't know. I mean, I obviously, you know, at $30 a skein, you kind of want to use all the yarn. I don't want to use, you know, 100 yards of it and then have to.
But yeah, that's my problem with socks. Up with half a skein left, and
well, yeah, even with me, I think I can use about 60% of a skein. So I'm finding that I've kind of hit that point with some of the plucky stuff, is I've got all these partial balls from doing shawls, So in my head, I'm like, okay, so I can make all these marled projects or all these, like, a la rares or, not cannonball, turnstiles, stripey cowls and things like that. I think I'm going to start making stuff and have to give it away. And then I was a sucker and bought a project bag from Slip Stitch Studios. Oh. The fabric is...
Oh, that's cute.
Kittens. You gotta be kidding me. So it's different cat heads. It's one of the double skein ones. So it's about 8 inches tall. And it'd be nice.
It's cute.
It's cute fabric. It'd be nice for a hat or something like that. So that's all I've bought.
Speaking of kittens, I'm gonna throw this in here. So last time I mentioned that we couldn't find my cat while we were recording, and she actually had snuck out of the house and was gone for about a day and a half, and she came back. It was traumatic for all of us.
I was worried all weekend, and she had my cat.
Because I've never been that worried about a cat who got out before.
Well, she's just a baby.
Yeah, she's a baby, and she'd only been with us for a month, so I had no idea if she was going to find her way back, but she did. She was really scared, and I think that she was probably very close to our house the whole time and just hiding. But she's fine, and she will not be going out again.
Yeah, you at least have her chip, so she's gotten caught. Yeah,
and we need to get her a collar. We don't have collars on any of them because they're inside.
Yeah,
mine
don't.
Think about it. But of course, two of mine aren't. I don't think Oliver, I suppose, may be chipped. Because he was fostered, so they may have had him chipped, but I don't remember that. So we need to do that, even though they're indoors. You never know. Especially Oliver. He desperately wants to go outside, then he gets terrified when he does. Okay. Acquisitions. I was in San Antonio for the library conference last week, and on Friday and Saturday was the Yellow Rose Fiber Festival, which is in Seguin, which is about 35-40 minutes from San Antonio. So there weren't any sessions that I wanted to go to or that were relevant to me, to my job, on Saturday morning. So I went with a friend. Actually, the friend it happens to be Darcy's boss. She and I went over there Saturday morning and spent maybe 2 hours, maybe not quite 2 hours, before heading back for the closing session at the conference. But it was kind of a whirlwind tour of Yellow Rose. Yellow Rose is not a very big festival anyway, so we were able to do a round and a half to 2 rounds. I did almost one without buying anything, and then went with Jessica around. So this was her first Fiber Festival, so she was a little more thoughtful. I kind of went in knowing I had seen a lot of the vendors before and kind of knew where I wanted to stop.
Right.
Excuse me. But let's see. There will be crinkling because I haven't taken this stuff out. And I will do Katie a favor and leave the bats in the bag because they shed like crazy. So these are not in any order. This is in the order that I'm picking out of the bag. I bought a bag from Casey's Pockets to Go. She has great bags. And this one caught my attention from across the way. I couldn't tell, from a distance, I couldn't tell what the design was. I thought it might be sideways knit stitches.
Oh, that's, well, it does look like that. And then up close, it's
there are these little tiny sheep. They're like pink and like
blue, green, and
like kind of a pale green and blue, yeah, and white. And oh, yeah, and then there are some black ones in there. Yeah,
the size was really nice.
It's a nice size zipper bag.
For a shawl.
Like a big shawl would go in there.
Maybe
even a small, like a small fingering sweater would probably go in there. But it was really nice. She also had some fabric that had hedgehogs that was just adorable. And there was another sheep one, I think, that I really liked. Or maybe it was llamas or alpacas. I'm not sure. But this was my ultimate decision. I love it. I just love those little sheep. And then I bought from Yarn Carnival. This was on the Her High Wire 3-ply, which is 100% superwash merino. It's 490 yards, so this will make a shawl for sure. It's the oil slick colorway. So it's...
is that a newer color?
It must be. Yeah, it's purples and greens.
Like an oil slick.
Yeah, like an oil slick. It's really, really pretty. This was my first, I had to have it. Sometimes, you try to be good, but then there's some things you're like, no, that I'm not coming back for that one.
Yeah.
Then I bought two bats from Butterfly Girl Designs. And like I said, I'm not taking them out. This one, the first one is hot pink and orange, which are so not my colors, but lately I just love that color combination. Maybe I won't ever use it myself, but I could gift it to somebody. But, and then the other one, you really can't see it very well.
Spin it while you love it and then knit it or give it away or something.
The other one is, like a cerulean and kind of a purple, just really, really deep blues. Both of them are really pretty, and they both have a lot of sparkle. And I was just standing there looking, the pink and orange one, the sparkle was just attracted to me, and it was landing all over my skin. So I said, well, since it's already coming home with me,
right,
I have to buy it. But these will be a lot of fun to spend. These are good size bats. I think they're 4 ounces. Let me see if it says. No, actually they're 5 ounces. So that will be a lot of fun to spend. And then I got, I stopped by to see, first thing I did was stop by Undead Yarn and Open Skies Yarn. Both Heidi and Jeanette were both vending, and they were right next to each other. So they're friends. So they are my friends. They are also friends. So I stopped by to see them and look at their yarn, and then with the intention of coming back. And they're all pretty. I told Heidi, I said, I've got a stash of Undead building up, so I needed to start building my Open Skies. So I didn't get any Undead this time, but I got a set of minis from Jeanette, which are Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And it's a variegated set. I don't see the individual color names. I don't know if they're on here or not. But there's one that's more like a yellow, orange, and gray. One is blues. One is kind of blues and oranges on a white base. And then one is purples and reds and blues. And then one that's more predominantly red with some blue in it. And these will go into my mitered square blanket. Her stuff was lovely. It was so hard. I had that serious analysis paralysis when I was in there. She has one base that's a 50% merino, 50% silk that is so soft, but the colors were beautiful, but they didn't look like the colors that I would wear. So I passed on those. She had some interesting kits. It was just, and that was her first time vending too. So I think that's everything I purchased there. And I have one more acquisition. I won a set of Rolags on Instagram from Naturally Knitty. They're the Lavender Fields colorway, so greens and purples. And they have faux cashmere, Falkland, Firestar, merino, silk, and targi. And so those will be fun to spin. And then I mentioned that I got the Madeline Tosh Vintage and the Mike TV colorway as part of the Yarnathon colorways. And that, I believe, is it. Upcoming events. The next thing that we will both be going to, actually all three, Darcy, I assume, is going to, is Houston Fiber Fest, which is at the end of June. I can't remember the exact dates. I think it's the last weekend in June.
It's the weekend before that.
Or the weekend before the last weekend.
21st or something like that.
Oh, maybe that's earlier than I thought it was.
I have to look.
I was interested in classes, but I missed.
So 23rd, 24th, okay. And they've extended it to Sunday, which I don't know why.
Oh.
The 25th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you taking any classes? I know you were going to.
Yes, I'm taking the Charts Made Simple with J.C. Breyer.
Yeah, I wanted to take the short row one with Lucy Neatby, But it was full when I went and looked. The sign-ups were while I was gone. Or maybe, yeah. I think it was the day after I got back, but I was kind of...
They were on a Saturday at noon.
Yeah.
And, was her name Natasha? Said that...
I don't remember.
A couple of them sold out, like, really quickly.
Oh, really?
Some of the Lucy Neatby stuff sold out really, really quickly.
I don't think that there was anything else. So that's on Friday. Your class is on Friday,
yeah,
right?
Friday at 10.
Yeah, I don't think that there was anything else that was on Friday that I was really interested in. I'll go back and look and see. So that I probably won't take any classes, but we will be there. I'll be there on Saturday for sure. I may take off Friday. If I'm not taking any classes, I may not. I extended an invitation to Jeanette to stay with me. I don't know. She said she was going to come, but, you know, once you actually start making plans, who knows? But Jeanette, you are absolutely welcome to stay with me if you don't mind a somewhat cluttered house. It will be clean. It just might not be uncluttered. So that is end of June. Still looking at going to Stitches in September, but we'll know more details about that. I'll look at the vendor schedule first and make sure. I want to go, but I don't know. To tell you the truth, don't really care.
Not for 4 days, but
no,
yeah.
No, but we'll be there at least one day.
Friday and Saturday or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it's any more is to go visit with friends, too.
Right, and that's
part of it.
So, you know, I guess it will also depend on who else is going. Because if there's no vendors that I'm dying to see and none of our friends are going, too, then we might reconsider and go to Kid and You or something like that. But that's a while away. In the kitchen, I've been gone so much I haven't really had time to be in the kitchen, but I did cook something the other night that was worth mentioning. I think I've mentioned before, I really like the Skinny Taste website and cookbooks. Her recipes are healthier and they are really good. Like, they've been hits with my family. So they don't taste like diet dishes. So I made Asian peanut noodles with chicken the other night, and I didn't figure out nutrition stuff on this one. She uses something called, I think it was like Better Than Butter or something like that, which was a peanut butter substitute. And I wasn't going to buy it just for one recipe.
Right.
And I didn't care that much, so I just used peanut butter. And it basically, you should make a peanut sauce with sriracha and peanut butter, and I think there was some honey and soy sauce. And then cook the chicken and then added, broccoli slaw and carrots at the end. You sauteed those and then added them on top. And it was so good. Eli, my son, the whole time he's like, oh my gosh. He took a bite of the chicken before anybody else was at the table. He's like, oh my gosh, this chicken is amazing. This is so good. And then he ate the whole thing he's 18. This is not like a little kid being picky.
He's a weird eater.
He is a weird eater. And he loved it. And I really liked it a lot. So it's available on her website. It's also in one of the Skinny Taste cookbooks. I have both of them. I don't remember which one it's in. I think it was in the one that is not specifically for quick and easy. But definite winner on there. Just to give my monthly Martha and Marley Spoon update, they weren't able to deliver my order this week for some reason. They gave me a free box, but that's always a little frustrating when you have made a grocery list based on, you know, what you expect to get. Reading and watching. Please talk.
Okay. So, seems so long between times we record.
I know.
Let's see. So I read a book that people have been touting as awesome called The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. It's a contemporary romance. I don't gravitate to contemporary romance, but this book was awesome. It was funny. It was just the chemistry between the two main characters. It's set in a nondescript city. that, and the, someone wrote a review on Goodreads. They're like, I can't read this anymore because I don't know what city it's in. And I'm like, really?
That's a stupid reason to
not read a book. In your head, make it New York, make it London, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But it was really, really good. And it's called The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. I also read Love, Lies, and Spies by Cindy Ansey. This is a young adult book that's kind of... Okay, so it's kind of like a historical romance, but it's more of like a mystery with spies and stuff. Very underwhelming. I think if you were like 13, you might like it. But for someone who reads a ton of historical romance and whatnot... You can take your phone. Sorry.
It's okay.
You're doing something.
It's my husband. So it was okay. I think if you were younger than, you know, what I am, you might enjoy it, but I was a little underwhelmed. And it tried to be too many things in one book. And then I'm currently reading The Bone Witch, which is also a young adult book by Rin Chupoco.
Chupeco?
She's Filipino, is that right? It's a case of I'm not reading it consistently, so that's maybe affecting part of my opinion of the book. It's a YA paranormal, I guess, fantasy about this girl... Tay, that's how I'm saying the name. It's spelled like T-T-E-A, but I'm saying Tay, is a witch, but she's like a bone witch, which is a dark witch. They can raise things from the dead. And so she's coming into her powers and being trained to become a witch. So I'm like, it's a 50% mark with that, so. The first chapter or two was really kind of hard because there's a lot of vocabulary, granted, there's probably a glossary in the back or something, but I think it would be nice to have that glossary in the front, especially like on a Kindle version, or maybe explain the word, you know, in another sentence, yeah. In a context. So, you know, she's giving all these terms for various types of witches and or beasts that they're going after, and... So the world building for me is just, it was a little confusing. Mm-hmm. It finally hit a point where I kind of understood what was going on, but it was a little disjointed the first, like, two chapters until I kind of got into the meat of the story.
Let's see. So I finished The Girl in the Red Coat by Kate Hamer. I was looking at show notes. And I had to remind myself what it was about. It actually was really good. This was the one, the little girl and the mother got separated. The little girl is kidnapped. And she, I don't guess it's spoilery because this is early on in the book. She's taken to America. And so it's from the little girl's perspective and then from the mother's perspective. There's a little bit of... not magical realism. It's maybe just a little fantastical. The girl basically has some powers that she discovers. It was pretty good. I don't remember what I gave it on Goodreads. Probably 3 or 4. The ending was fairly satisfactory. I think it could have... There could have been some follow-up that I would have liked. But other than that, it was enjoyable. I also finished Blood Lure by Nevada Barr, which is part of the Anna Pigeon series. This one was set in... where was it set? Up near Glacier National Park, except it's the portion that is joint Canadian... in the United States, and I can't remember what it's called. It's a wildlife, or it's a national, I don't know what they call it, like a reserve, maybe. But this one was really, really good. I really liked it. I actually gave it 5 stars. Just the character development was pretty good. It really kept me on my toes. I liked that a lot. And then I just finished Sorcery in Cecilia, or The Enchanted Chocolate Pot by Patricia Reedy and Caroline Stevermer. I don't know how you say that. This one was so good. No, I only gave it 4 stars, so maybe I need to go back and give it 5, considering I'm raving about it. But it was written in letter style, and it started out as a letter game between the two authors. So one of them was writing as one character, and one was writing as the other character. And it was set back early 1800s, I assume in England. Yes, I know it was in England, because they were, right, yeah, part of it was set in London. And there's magic, and there's intrigue, and there's romance, and it was really good. I really, really enjoyed that one. It is part of a trilogy, but it is completely standalone. I don't know if the other two are even the same characters, but they're written the same way. I really, really enjoyed that. It is young adult, but it read as, I would say, like, it was adult, but the characters, they were young adult.
I had that 20s. On my list to read a long time ago. Yeah,
this has been on my list for years, since probably before I worked at the library. And I've said before, I use a randomizer to pick books, so it finally floated to the top, and I was really glad. I had bought it on Kindle a long time ago because it was on sale or free or something, so I already had it. But that was really good. I would really recommend that one. And then I'll talk about that last. I'm currently reading Lost Boy by Christina Henry. This is not out yet. It comes out in either June or July. I picked up only maybe at library conferences. Typically, you can pick up lots and lots of advanced reading copies. I've noticed over the years since I've been going, the numbers of ARCs available has really, really dropped. It could be that, no offense to any librarians listening, librarians get really, really greedy when they go into these exhibit halls and they snatch things up and are rude and they push around each other. And I think as a result, publishers are not putting out as much without you having to ask for them.
Well, and there's also Edelweiss and what's the other one?
Yeah, there's a lot of I can't remember it right now, but there are several that are
that you can read ARCs online.
Yeah, NetGalley. So you can do that. And then there's also, with book blogging, there are a lot of people who will go to exhibits. I know this was a big deal a few years ago at ALA. There were people who were book bloggers who were going, and they were doing, you know, their stash, like, or, you know, what they came back from. And they weren't librarians. They weren't necessarily willing to give reviews. So I think the social media culture has probably added some of that too, with just not having as much out. But I went on, one of the days they have sessions where the publishers come and they just, they book talk several of their hot books that are coming out. And they had several advanced readers available. So I picked up 5, and I decided that for once I'm actually going to read them immediately after the conference, because I still have advanced readers on my bookshelves from several years ago that I just haven't ever gotten to read. And I wanted to, I'm really bad about not reading the most current stuff. So this is a way for me to read some hot upcoming books. But Lost Boy is a retelling of Peter Pan from the perspective of Captain Hook. So what if Captain Hook was not a bad guy? Mm-hmm. And Peter Pan is kind of a jerk. And it's in the book right now, the main character is Jamie. And he's a young, he's one of the Lost Boys. I am, 95% confident that Jamie will grow up to be Jim Hook. And just trying to figure out. I suspect in the part I'm in right now, he is kind of responsible for some of the boys, and he's kind of playing that paternal role. And I suspect, you know, in the spirit of Peter Pan, that that responsibility will make him grow up or something. You know, I don't know. But it's really good. It is very dark.
Is it adult or YA?
I can't tell. It's not very, it's only about 300 pages. The cover looks like it would be a YA book, but it's not labeled as YA anywhere. She also wrote Alice and Red Queen fairly recently, or, you know, within the past few years. And so, you know, maybe go look and see what genre those, or what those are classified as. It would, it could,
I mean, they could be older. It could, yeah, be older YA.
Right.
I
it, mean, it would are, pass as YA, but it's definitely got adult appeal.
You know, it's not 12-year-old YA. Yeah. It's 18, 17-year-old YA.
It's got, I mean, there's some, you know, some violence. I suspect there will be more violence. One of the reviews I read of it kind of described it as Lord of the Rings. I mean, no. Lord of the Flies meets Peter Pan. Yeah. And I can definitely see that. I'm enjoying it, but it's also one of those that I'm like kind of scared to pick it up because I'm not sure where, how it's gonna go. But I will be done with that one before the next podcast, and I will give a better review. So far, so good. And then the last one, I finished Yarnitecture by Jillian Moreno. I was talking about this last time. It is for spinners. It's it focuses on spinning commercially prepared fiber, rather than making your own bats and that type of stuff. A lot of information on color management, how, you know, to decide what to knit with your hand spun, those types of things. It's really, really good. It's got several patterns at the end that looked good. I gave this one 5 stars for sure. This is one of those that I will come back to. It's a, you know, definitely good reference material for spinners. If you spin at all, I would 100% recommend this one. I probably won't do a full review of it, but maybe at some point, if anybody wants me to, I will.
You could always blog it.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of the things I keep wanting to kind of maybe use the blog for more than just posting the videos. I don't know if you have access to it, but I could give you access and we could use it as a joint blog too if we wanted to.
I think you have. I would have to dig through my email to find the logins and passwords.
But that's all I've got. I was thinking on the way here, I'd really like to do another knit along. It's been, last one we did was the summer reading one last year. I don't really want to do that one again unless there's interest, but I'd like to do something shorter.
Yeah.
I would probably do at least a 2-month one because we're only recording
once a month
these days. I know I had a couple of suggestions. Last year I had asked for suggestions. Someone had suggested doing something with a food theme. So that's a possibility. I was thinking, I mean, there's so many yarns or patterns or whatever that you could use that would tie into some kind of food. I don't know. I think there was another one suggestion too, but we will talk about it, and hopefully when we record next time, maybe we will have a plan for a knit along. Speaking of next time, so if we do another month from now, that's actually going to be, that'll be Memorial Day weekend.
I work that Saturday.
Yeah, and that's actually, graduation is that Sunday. So,
unless I trade, that's my anniversary. My anniversary is a couple days before that. So, unless I trade.
Maybe the first weekend of June instead of.
Unless I go to Dallas with Dave.
Oh, okay.
I have that weekend off. Yeah. But, we'll see. But we can tentative.
Yeah, we can look at schedules. I could also see, I mean, I always record with you. I could also try to record with Darcy.
True. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see. In the meantime, I hope everybody is having a great spring and is much calmer than mine has been. And we'll talk to you in roughly a month.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.